Reacher looked left to right, around the silent semicircle of spectators, and said,
"Next?"
No one moved. Reacher said,
"Anyone?"
No one moved.
"Okay," Reacher said, "let's all get it straight. From now on, it is what it is."
And then he turned and walked back to his house. Chapter 19 Reacher's father was waiting in the hallway, a little pale around the eyes. Reacher started unwrapping his hands, and he asked,
"Who are you working with on this codebook thing?"
His father said, "An intelligence guy and two MPs."
"Would you call them and ask them to come over?"
"Why?"
"All part of the plan, like Mom told me."
"They should come here?"
"Yes."
"When?"
"Right now would be good."
Reacher saw he had the word Georgia stamped backward across one of his knuckles. Must have been where the wire was manufactured. Raised lettering on the insulation. A place he had never been. His father made the call to the base, and Reacher watched the street from a window. He figured with a bit of luck, the timing would be perfect. And it was, more or less. 20 minutes later, a staff car pulled up, and three men in uniform got out. And immediately, an ambulance turned into the street behind them and maneuvered around their parked vehicle and headed on down to the smelly kid's house. The medics loaded the kid on board, and his mother and what looked like a younger brother rode along as passengers. Reacher figured the kid's father would head straight for the hospital on his motorbike at the end of his watch, or earlier, depending on what the doctors said. The intelligence guy was a major, and the MPs were warrant officers. All three of them were in BDUs. All three of them were still standing in the hallway. All three of them had the same expression on their faces. "Why are we here?" Reacher said,
"That kid they just took away? You need to go search his house, which is now empty, by the way. It's ready and waiting for you."
The three guys looked at each other. Reacher watched their faces. Clearly none of them had any real desire to nail a good Marine like Stan Reacher. Clearly all of them wanted a happy ending. They were prepared to clutch at straws. They were prepared to go the extra mile, even if that involved taking their cues from some weird 13-year-old kid. One of the MPs asked,
"What are we looking for?"
"You'll know it when you see it," Reacher said. 11 inches long, 1 inch wide, gray in color."
The three guys stepped out into the street, and Reacher and his father sat down to wait. Chapter 20 It was a reasonably short wait, as Reacher had privately predicted. The smelly kid had demonstrated a degree of animal cunning, but he was no kind of a criminal mastermind, that was for damn sure. The three men came back less than 10 minutes later with a metal object that had been burned in a fire. It was ashy gray as a result. It was a once bright alloy fillet, 11 inches long and 1 inch wide, slightly curved across its shorter dimension, with three round appendages spaced along its length. It was what is left when you burn a regular three-ring binder. No stiff covers, no pages, no contents, just scorched metal. Reacher asked,
"Where did you find it?"
One of the MPs said,
"Under a bed in the second bedroom, the boys' room."
No kind of a criminal mastermind. The major from intelligence asked,
"Is it the code book?"
Reacher shook his head.
"No," he said. "It's the test answers from the school."
"Are you sure?"
"Positive."
"So why call us?"
"This has to be handled by the Corps, not by the school. You need to go up to the hospital and talk to the kid and his father together. You need to get a confession. Then you need to tell the school. What you do to the kid after that is your business. A warning will do it, probably. He won't trouble us again, anyway."
"What exactly happened here?"
"Well, it was my brother's fault," Reacher said. "In a way, anyway. The kid from down the street started hazing us, and Joe stepped up and did really well. Smart mouth, fast answers, the whole 9 yards. It was a great performance. Plus, Joe is huge. Gentle as a lamb, but the kid didn't know that, obviously. So he decided to duck the physical route in terms of revenge. He decided to go another way. He figured out that Joe was uptight about the test. Maybe he had heard us talking. But anyway, he followed Joe up to the school yesterday and stole the answers to discredit him."
"Can you prove that?"
"Circumstantially," Reacher said. "The kid didn't go to the ball game. He wasn't on the bus, so he was in town all day. And Joe washed his hands and took a shower when he got back, which is unusual for Joe in the afternoon. He must have felt dirty. And my guess is he felt dirty because he had been smelling that kid's stink all day, from behind him and around corners.
Very circumstantial, the major said.
Ask the kid, Reacher said. Lean on him, in front of his dad.
Well, then what happened?
The kid made up a scenario where Joe memorized the answers and then burned the book, which would be plausible for a guy who wanted to cheat on a test. And it was trash night, which was convenient. The plan was the kid would burn the book in his own backyard and then sneak into ours during the night and dump the metal part in our incinerator among our ashes, so the evidence would be right there. But we had no ashes. We missed trash night. We had to be up at the airport instead, so the kid had to abort the plan. He just snuck away again. And I heard him. Early hours of the morning. I thought it was a cat or a rat.
Any trace evidence?
You might find footprints out there, Reacher said. The yard was swept at some point, but there's always dust, especially after trash night.
The MPs went away and took a look at the yard, and then they came back with quizzical expressions on their faces, as if to say, the kid could be right. The intelligence major got a look on his own face, like, I can't believe I'm about to say this to a 13-year-old. And then he asked,
do you know where the code book is, too?
No, Reacher said. Not for sure, but I could make a pretty good guess.
Where?
Help my brother out with the school, and then we'll talk.
Chapter 21 The three Marines came back 90 minutes later. One of the MPs said,
You bust that kid up pretty good, didn't you?
He'll live, Reacher said. The other MP said,
He confessed. It went down like you figured. How did you know?
Logic, Reacher said. I knew Joe wouldn't have done it, so clearly someone else did. It was just a question of who, and how, and why.
The intelligence major said,
We squared things away with the school. Your brother's in the clear.
Then the guy smiled. He said,
But there's one unfortunate consequence.
Which is what?
They don't have the answers anymore, so the test has been canceled.
That's a shame.
Every silver lining has a cloud.
Did you see the questions?
The major nodded.
Reading, writing, adding, subtracting, nothing out of the ordinary.
No general knowledge?
Nope.
No baseball?
Not even a hint.
No statistics?
Percentages, maybe, in the math section. Odds and probabilities, that sort of thing.
Which are important, Reacher said. As in, what are the odds of a Marine officer losing a code book?
Low.
What are the odds of a good Marine officer like my dad losing a code book?
Lower still.
So the probability is the book isn't lost at all. The probability is there's another explanation. Therefore, time spent chasing the notion it's lost is time wasted. Time spent on other avenues would be more fruitful.
What other avenues?
When did President Ford take over from President Nixon?
10 days ago.
Which must have been when the Joint Chiefs started dusting off all the options. And I'm guessing the only real live one is China, which is why we got the transfer here. But we're the combat phase. So, a little earlier than us, the planners must have been brought in. A week or so ago, maybe. They must have been told to nail everything down double quick, which is a lot of work, right?
Always.
And what's the last phase of that work?
Revising the code books to match the updated plans.
What's the deadline?
Well, theoretically, we have to be ready to go at midnight tonight, should the president order it.
So, maybe somewhere, there's a guy who worked on the codes all through the night. A rear echelon guy who got here about a week ago.
I'm sure there is, but we already checked all over the base. That's the first thing we did.
Maybe he worked off-post.
Well, that would be unauthorized.
But it happens.
I know, but even if it did in this case, he would have been back on the base hours ago, and the book would have been back in the safe hours ago.
Suppose he wore himself out and fell asleep. Suppose he hasn't gotten up yet. Suppose the code book is still on his kitchen table.
Where?
Across the street, Reacher said. Knock on the door and ask for Helen.
Chapter 22 Joe got back from his long walk an hour later, and he and his brother and his father headed for the beach and took a swim. The water was warm, the sand was white, and the palms were swaying. They loitered and strolled until the sun dipped low, and then they headed home to the hot little house at the top of the concrete street, where an hour later the new phone rang again, and Josie told them that her father had died. Old Laurent Moutier was gone, at the age of 90, taking with him, like everyone does, a lifetime of unknown private hopes and dreams and fears and experiences, and leaving behind him, like most people do, a thin trace of himself in his living descendants. He had never had a clear idea of what would become of his beautiful mop-haired daughter and his two handsome grandsons, nor did he really want one. But, like every other 20th-century male human in Europe, he hoped they would live lives of peace, prosperity, and plenty, while simultaneously knowing they almost certainly wouldn't. So he hoped they would bear their burdens with grace and good humor, and he was comforted, in his final moments, by the knowledge that so far they always had, and probably always would. Second Son is published by Random House Audiobooks, a division of the Random House Group. Copyright Lee Child, 2011. Copyright in recording Random House Audiobooks. Lee Child has asserted his right under the CDPA 1988 to be identified as the author of this work.